WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Mama's on the half shell. Remember when Scunny was dreaming this place up? You know, I'm over at Mama's. He's like, let's touch nubs, man. Let's touch nubs. I'm building the place in the corner. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting it, but, you know, maybe. You know, it's going to be something upscale, you know, like seafood, you know, like a raw bar, but like upscale for Canton. You know, so cheers to Scunny. I've already drank a one positive mental attitude.
Absolutely.
Greg is here. Pronounce your last name so I don't destroy it.
Since we're here in Balmer, hun, it would be Sespaniak, but if we were in the old country, Poland, it would be Szczepaniak, from what I understand.
So, Szczepaniak.
Yeah.
That's very official.
You know, if I'm getting ready to fight somebody, I'm like, do you know who I am? I'm Greg Szczepaniak.
You sound like a professional wrestler when you say that to me.
Exactly. A jobber. Yeah, right.
Right. Jabroni.
Steve,
he should be in
Steve
one of the
Lombardi.
Rocky movies.
This guy's a legend, man. I mean,
legend in my own mind, no doubt about
it. Jen Fidelli's
yep.
here. She is general manager, is that what we call you?
Yes.
Of the Mama's group. So this thing's weird because there was no connection between me inviting Martin Knott here and Martin Knott's brother working here and Martin Knott's brother making these delicious cans of margarita and the crush that Martin has gifted to my wife in these go grawlers, right?
Yes.
Delicious out of this?
Oh, of course.
Well, I got to get some ice. I'm going to stop by the Rofo.
If you get in a brawl, comes in handy too. Yeah.
Well, Jen runs the joint and Scunny was the mayor of the square, right? I don't think anybody
100%.
Would doubt that, right? You knew Scunny well, so we'll talk about Scunny a little bit. You'll make me cry. I already cried once. Jill Eisenberg was here. She's handing me MS bracelets, my sister-in-law, and my losing my friend. But so Scunny is like the sort of the recurring character of all of this. But since we lost him, you're my square connection with
gotcha.
The Grunwald.
Scunny's
club.
Understudy. There you go. So yeah.
How many beers did you drink in your life with Scunny?
Lordy, good man. I mean, knew him really well. And as we were talking before about my affinity for pizza and going to...
See, if I couldn't have Jackie here, I got him. See
yeah.
this?
Is good. Pizza and Wing Factor. I used to see Scunny when cheese pizzas were 5 1/4 and pepperoni was 5.50. So it's been quite a while. But so saw him at work a lot. He was good buddies with my Uncle John, who's was the president of the Grunwald Club. So Scunny and I, it's not like we were best of friends, but saw him a lot just in the square, you know, with my dad. Growing up a block away on the 1100 block of Potomac Street.
So your dad grew up a block from here?
Yes, so that's where the roots started. Okay. My son goes to St. Casimir's now. My dad went there 70 years ago. So we are tight with Canton. Yeah, lot the roots
man,
go deep.
The bricks here. See, that's why. So the crab cake tour, when I told my wife like a year ago, I'm like, I'm going to do this thing around crab cakes. Man, I had lunch with my cousin Raleigh, and he was the reason I did the whole crab cake tour. He pissed
nice.
Me off last year, and it begat the crab cake tour, literally. And I said, I'm going to spend these Fridays in these iconic, awesome Baltimore places. I just told Martin made a podcast set. He's going to have this new thing. And I said, you get to drag people to your place to do that. And what I want to do is drag my show to places.
100%, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just being here. You're like, what am I doing here, man? You're selling real estate in Canton. You're a sports guy. You're pissed about the Orioles, right? You're pissed about baseball being down.
It is frustrating.
Who isn't?
I mean, a different time nowadays, you know, trusting the process, trying to believe in it. But when is that coming? I mean, I just turned 50 last year, so hopefully we'll see. And I haven't
had some hair. You want to buy
it? I haven't had hair for quite some time. But, you know. Still bleed the black and orange. You know, my son coming up, William, he'll actually, when we go to the games now, he'll
How old's he?
He's 6 1/2.
All right.
Tyler's 3.
T-ball?
So, machine pitch now. So,
all
we
right.
actually got, I'm coaching over in South Baltimore. We actually got tryouts for the kids tomorrow, talent evaluation tomorrow. So, I'll be over there at Saturday.
Your kid got talent? He's not listening.
He's good. he's good. Listen, now, somebody asked me the other day, like, younger son, older son, what do you think? I was like, well, if I had to pick one, I'm going older son. I've seen him hit a baseball and a golf ball. The younger guy, he's 3. He hasn't done it yet. So
he's going to pick up the guitar and be John Mayer.
Which would be fine
right.
with me. I took guitar lessons for 1 week at St. Michael the Archangel, gave it up. It's the biggest mistake I ever made.
Last time I ran it, it was you too, wasn't it?
Rolling Stones 2 summers ago.
Oh, it was Rolling Stones.
It was the Stones.
Okay.
Yeah, FedEx.
Start me up, baby.
That was fantastic because that was last minute. I was like, where are we going to go? Not go. I was talking with my buddies. We were texting, and they're like, tickets available.
Yeah.
And we're like, tickets are getting cheaper. I'm Polish. Hey, if the price is dropping, I'll buy it, you know, no matter what. So, but it was fantastic to see my dad's favorite band growing up. And then to parlay that into now, Paul McCartney's coming to Camden Yards.
Might be the only thing there this summer,
and,
by the way.
Beth and I, my wife and I, were going to that in June, so pretty excited about
that. See, Jen's like laughing and stuff. Her dude is an NFL agent.
Nice. Okay.
Based right here in Canton, in the soil.
Gosh, I should probably know him. Yeah.
He's combining, right?
He is. He's an indie right now.
Man, how about that? Like, they were hoodwinking the agents and stuff to try to have a bubble, and they were going to feed all the kids, like, processed food, like the Beijing Olympic experience that my pal Dave Shinen had to deal with.
Okay.
And the agents were like, no bueno, no combine, no do. And they changed that rule, like, in the middle of the night last week so that they could have some normal. I've been watching that. It's up on the screen right now, out of the corner of my eye. Are you NFL'd out or are you not?
I am a little bit. This time of year, I always look forward to the combine being over because then he's more home.
She lives totally on the NFL life.
Yeah.
That's why.
Usually like September, I'm kissing him goodbye, and I'm like, all right, I'll see you in February, you know, and that's like our life. But we look forward to baseball, so we are pretty bummed out that baseball's not going to happen because we get to actually be fans, and we're diehard Orioles and all the, you know, so. But right now, I am very NFL'd
out. So this is where we're going to do a little bit of sports radio, okay? Because, you know, I don't talk a lot of sports anymore. What's really happening with Josh Jacobs? Tell me what's really going on.
My lips are sealed.
Yeah, okay, there you go. See, so her dude represents Josh Jacobs, running back from the Raiders.
Oh, right. All right,
Alabama
gotcha.
Kid. Nice kid. Nice kid.
With the Raiders, right?
You know what? The reason I even said something funny to you is I saw Josh McDaniels, who's now the Oakland Raiders coach. Did you know that?
He didn't drop the job yet. He didn't take it and then quit.
No,
like he did
there
with,
been no emails yet.
Who was it with Denver a few years ago?
Yeah, he did that, right. Okay. So he... I had forgotten that he was the Raiders coach. I'm trying to get familiar with this because I'm going to the NFL owners meetings in 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Okay.
So the NFL owners meetings, and I don't know if this is a tradition. It's three of the coaches aren't even at the combine right now, right? Three of the coaches. Usually Belichick is the prick at the owners meetings who doesn't show up and takes the $50,000 fine or whatever it is to not show up. But it's kind of joyous because you walk in and every current NFL coach is at a table with 10 seats. You've probably seen me on social media sitting next to John Harbaugh, Peter King, whatever, at the tables.
Right.
Mike Tomlin and I became friends at this event. So I'm going this year because it was, you know, mask up last year, canceled on 1 minute notice 2 years ago. So I'm going, and part of this is like the game my wife and I play every year is, all right, who's the Tampa coach? Come on, tell me. Black, white, young, old, what is he? Come on. Well, we know he's white.
Exactly.
We know he's white now.
Right, yeah.
So, but literally, this is the question we would ask. So for 15 years, we've gone to this breakfast, and you know who John Gruden is, or you know who Frank Reich might be, but I promise you, if the Chargers coach walked in right now, you might not know him.
Right, I could see that.
Right, I mean, like, so there's all these coaches, when you see them, and if you gave me the test right now, if you had asked me 2 days ago, who the Raiders coach is, I would have said, not Rich Bisaccia.
Right.
I would have not. I'm trying to get names and faces and who's coaching where. And this is the time of the year. Combine starts that. It literally is on right over my shoulder right now. And then the owners' meetings and the draft. I mean, it doesn't end when you're an NFL family or an NFL fan.
It doesn't.
It's
365. And honestly, this year, too, I would fail the test because I feel like Black Monday, when that all rolled around, it was so busy and there was so much going on.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the coach
you, like,
of the Denver Broncos?
Tuned it out.
Real quick. I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know. I mean, I literally don't
know. He could be sitting right next to me. I would have no idea.
Do I have a lifeline? Can I call somebody?
Lovie Smith.
Let me call my buddy Jeff Nett.
I know he's
Jeff.
A white guy. Lovie Smith got the gig in Houston, so I know that.
Does Denver have a new coach? Isn't he is like an Italian name?
No, Vic Fangio.
Fangio, right. Okay.
He got fired.
Did he get fired?
Is he gone?
There were nine
he's
guys
okay.
that got fired. Just,
yeah.
Vic, whatever. Vic, we barely
I lost
knew
shock
you.
Of them all.
Okay. His fortunes were tied to Joe Flacco.
I mean, I know. My man Harbaugh's still in town. That's
poor
all
Joe.
I care about, so I'm cool with that.
You're a Harbs fan?
Oh, yeah, of course.
She's a Harbs fan.
Big time.
All right. Well, that's, you know, I mean, all right. God, I'm not a Harbs fan.
Yeah.
But I just always think it's funny when girls are like, I like John. I'm like, all right, I like John, too. Yeah, it's fine. See, Harbaugh has that male-female appeal that, like, John Mayer had. I went to see John Mayer in New York last week, and John Mayer used to be 90% girls under the age of 21. Like, screaming Beatles kind of fans. And now...
Was that pre or post Taylor Swift?
Pre.
Okay.
Oh, the chicks got pissed
at him. So post-Taylor Swift, they're probably not if they're Swifties.
What happened? Did they have a bad breakup?
I'm sure.
He said some nasty things.
You got to listen to her songs a little closer.
When you date...
All I heard was Romeo.
You date a guy like that, you know what you're walking into.
Yeah, she got so famous.
Yeah.
I met John Mayer. My wife and I were dining in Las Vegas one night, and we looked over at the next table, and it was John Mayer. And he was there with, like, four dudes in suits that looked like they were California Hollywood executives. Or it was a business.
Yeah.
No offense to what your husband did.
You could say agent.
They look like agents.
Yeah, it's his manager and his agent, his lawyer.
Yeah,
and, you know.
They look like that group.
I know how it works.
And we're in a nice steakhouse, and they were sitting there, and there were a bunch of girls tittering because it was Vegas. There were bachelorette parties. And we were in there early, you know, 6, 6.30, 7 o'clock. You know, it was a really... really nice restaurant. It's fantastic. It's called Nine. And he was at the table, and the bachelorette girls were like really had to get a picture with him or whatever. And he waved them over. He said, come on over, you know, get what you want, and I'm going to go back to what I'm
yeah,
doing.
Right.
And he was super cool. And then my wife and I were going to get a picture with him, and he agreed to take a picture. And like said, come on over. And we're like, no, we'll wait for when you're done. And then... We didn't like go through with it. You know what I mean? Like when it was time for us to leave, he was kind of, but he could not have been any cooler, you know. But all dudes now, not all dudes, heavy dude. It was more men than women at a John Mayer.
Okay,
he's 44.
Maybe they're trying to learn a few things from him.
My example of that. example would be what like McCartney would have been in 1961, a Beatle. In 1977, when Wings were doing their thing,
right.
I bet the dudes power the Beatles now, not women. Like, you know,
oh, sure.
I think over the last 25, 30 years of my life, the Beatles have been about old white guys
yep.
more than women.
Guilty. Yeah.
Right? I mean, literally, your dad, you know, people like that. And that is an amazing movement from where your core audience was to... you know, what it became, and now it's universal, right? John Mayer will be universal. When he's 65 and playing the guitar, hopefully he lives that long, whatever, he'll be a universal appeal. And there
for
won't
sure.
be many of those kind of bands. I said to my son, he's going to play stadiums. It's, you know, he'll be Billy Joel. He'll be that guy. Mm-hmm. And there haven't been a lot of those.
I would say you got to be able to roll with the times change. I would relate. I would say The Undertaker. The dead man professional wrestler became American Badass. Look at that.
See that?
So, yeah.
Greg.
And I just lost you.
No, you did not, actually. You did not. I'm a Pasadena girl. I know all my wrestling.
Nice.
Don't you worry.
Lightning Jacks back in the day.
All right. Yeah.
She's cool. That's why she's on the show. Tell everybody about your places, because I talk about Scunny a lot because I loved him and we were friends, and I still love the food, and I love the relationship that we're now promoting your places, and I love the Berea Quesadillas. But there's something about local, and I talked about this with Martin and Jackie being one of the early guests when the plague happened 2 years ago, to say, man, when this shit's over and there's no Nacho Mamas, there's no Amici's, what?
Right.
You know what I mean? These places, there's no Fadley's, what? You know what I mean? Like, that point, and you've been in the restaurant business, and, I mean, you know, you're down here on the square. This is friends and family to you. Everybody we've ever known has slung a bar, you know, giving us drinks, Eclata, Looney's, any of these places. It was really important to me. So being able to bring the Crab Cake Tour out and do this, but tell me about business down here and how you guys... I see the berms out here. I see these permanent curbside pickup signs.
Yep.
And I'm thinking... Scotty would have figured this out.
Yeah, so we kind of just, you know, we don't want to have to go anywhere. And so we had to, and I think a lot of restaurants had to, Jackie and I have a really famous word when she and I are having leadership conversations of getting uncomfortable. And you can't change if you don't, if change doesn't make you uncomfortable, it should always make you uncomfortable, right? Like, it's scary, change is different. So none of us really knew what to do when the pandemic first happened. So it's been 2 years now, going into the third year, of just adapting to what you have to listen to what your guests want. You know, you have to listen to what they're asking you for and do it. You know, like we never wanted to really be carry out heavy, but and be on Grubhub and DoorDash and all the things. But that's what people want nowadays. They want to still eat well, but in their pajamas on their sofa. So we're on DoorDash and Grubhub and Uber Eats and all the above and curbside pickup.
I got a toaster oven when I moved out to the county. I've had to clean it twice because, like, reheating things in the toaster. I'm not a microwave guy for health reasons, but it doesn't taste good. You can't put chicken in a microwave oven and pull it out and 100%, have it taste good.
Yes.
So it's just more of making, and we're going to have outdoor space in the barbecue. So taking stuff home, we've carried out in Towson nachos 4 times every 2 weeks to keep the salsa fresh. Because you know how much I love, it's my favorite salsa in the world. And it's very benign. It's very,
no
some people
here.
Would
yeah.
say, plain this, that. I love it. It's perfectly tomato. It's slightly cilantro. And if you want it spicier than that, cut some jalapenos. I'm throwing them in there. You know, make it spicy as you want it, you know. But I love the salsa.
So, I eat it almost every day. I'm still not sick of it. So I'm right there with you.
I love it. I love it. And I love the nachos. And just the original. OG, right? But I take it home all the time. And that toaster oven, man, we reheat quesadilla. I reheat my pizza from Pizza John's, whatever. That being at home and eating, other than French fries, no bueno. I don't carry out a French fry.
No.
Yeah, not good.
No.
But I think a lot of places have really adapted to how carry out works. And how you're going to be able to get it home 20 minutes, 40 minutes from now, and still have it taste really good.
Yeah, 100%. And we've had to even sometimes change recipes around a little bit. We've had to go through different types of to-go boxes because we also don't want to compromise our quality. Like, we're proud of our quality. That means a lot to us. So we didn't want to have to compromise any of that. So we've tried 4, 5, 6 different types of to-go boxes just to make it right. So when you're coming to pick it up, it's just as fresh 15 minutes later when you get home as if you were eating it right here in the restaurant.
It's science.
Yep.
Science. Do-do-do. Thomas Dolby still at Hopkins now, right? Yeah.
Thomas Dolby was invited here today.
You gotta be kidding
Thomas
me.
Thomas lives in, yeah, Thomas.
That's who I'm filling in for, Thomas Dolby.
You're not filling in, but I'm trying to get neighborhood people.
He's a professor at Hopkins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he lives here at Fells Point. Yeah. He would ride his bike over and pull his hat off and sit here and entertain you. Smart, one of the smartest dudes I've ever met
that
in my life.
That would be amazing.
Thomas Dolby. You ever run into him in town?
I have not. No, I haven't. But I knew, and like I said, I knew he was at Hopkins, obviously, back in the day. Blinded with me is with science, all that good stuff. So, but he's done much more
randomly.
Than that, too. But.
No, he's a wonderful man and incredibly humble. Incredibly humble. So I took him, when my wife was really sick, he had wanted to go to a Ravens game, and I had threatened to take him to a Ravens game. And my wife was in the hospital, and it was the Ryan Mallett game.
Oh, right.
The
gotcha.
Ryan Mallett game.
Okay? Sorry, my so dad, was, kid, had
was,
brain
it
hair.
It was the
so
Ryan Mallett game.
Okay.
And so it was the end of 15, and he came down to my condo. Yeah, my wife was in the
it's
hospital.
Coming back to me now. Okay.
And not doing so well, quite frankly, on that particular
right.
day.
Oh.
And but, you know, she wanted me to go to the game and, you know, like that. And so we were walking over, and we were talking about his music and my music critic career. And he was explaining to me, he created this technology that I can't explain. It had to do with digital, like an MP3, but a unit in...
Right. Wow.
He's an inventor, okay? He's a really smart dude. So he tells me all this stuff, and we got to talking about Live Aid. Does that mean anything to you? You guys are too young for Live Aid.
100%. Oh, no. 84.
85.
85, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, July 13th, 1985. Does that mean anything to you, Live Aid?
I know
Aid?
From the movie.
Bob Geldof. Gotcha.
Okay. So... I went to Live Aid in Philadelphia, and I just started my music critic talking to rock stars at that point in my life. I was 16 years old. So we're talking about it. We go, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I was with David, and we were riding in a helicopter because you couldn't get in London because of the traffic, so they brought us in on the heliport, and Bowie was... afraid of flying, deathly afraid, and he was smoking cigarettes in the helicopter the whole way. It was terrible. So that's pretty good, decent Dolby. He'll piss on.
I'll
that.
Take your word for
he'll
it.
He'll take the piss on me. So on that. So Thomas tells me this story, and this is in 2015, and it was a neat story. And at one point, he came to my house, and we had dinner. He regaled a friend who asked about it, and then. 2 summers ago, during the plague, we're stuck at home, right? I have the Live Aid DVD, 6 discs, right, which is still missing 10 hours of the concert, right? It didn't have every artist, every song from London and Philadelphia. And I put the David Bowie part on from London. David Bowie's out there. Thomas Dolby was his band leader.
Oh.
And Dolby never told me. Like, didn't say, oh, I let David. He just told
me. He didn't drop that.
I was in a helicopter with him. And I thought he must have been performing as Thomas Dolby.
Right, right.
No, Bowie trusted him with the music and the band. And it was a, I Googled it, and it was a big deal that Thomas Dolby had taken over Bowie's band after the Serious Moonlight tour.
Wow.
And
okay.
redid three songs. They did Scary Monsters, I think. Or Ashes to Ashes, either way. So Dolby's a friggin' legend, dude, and he lives a mile away.
Wow.
And he would get on his bike and come over here and just sit down and nobody would know it.
Next time.
That's the best part of Dolby.
I love that. So
Dolby's a superstar.
I also might need to borrow that box set from you one day.
Done. Done. Absolutely. It's missing some really key stuff. You
when
know?
You said it was missing, I thought you meant like with your recent move, the movers took it or like
right,
Jen hit it or
I
something.
Felt like, no.
I'm on the case.
No, what I'm saying is each DVD contains 4 hours of music or something, and it's still missing. It has one of the three Judas Priest songs. It has okay. two of oh. the Simple Minds, but it's missing. It okay. doesn't.
You're
have,
not missing three of your six discs. It's
no,
just, okay.
it's just it. It was the music was too comprehensive, and I think some of it may have been licensing a little bit.
Oh.
Maybe I don't know. Like
gotcha.
With Bob, it was Bob Graham's event and Geldof's event. Madonna's. I mean, every artist I think is represented in it. Maybe somebody didn't get represented, but. It's missing memories I have from that day. My favorite memory of that day, it was so hot, was that there was a shower down on the field. This is Philadelphia, JFK
Stadium.
Okay,
Dewey right? Beach.
There were showers that were made. Think Preakness, right? Yeah, like a shower that you could run through. And it was so
that's
hot.
That's one more shower than Preakness, though, right?
I was sitting okay, all the way at the top yeah. under the press box.
You're getting
not
a shower,
kind of shower
at Preakness. I don't think you
not
want to be
not that kind
under
of
it.
Shower. We're not talking about that gold.
I wasn't going there. I'm sorry. I let us down there. Sorry. Okay.
It's Friday afternoon. Anything goes here to Maryland.
half a PBR. I'm in the back here. No, not at all. Go ahead.
So when Crosby, Stills, and Nash played Southern Cross is when I was in that shower. Right? So I saw it at about 11 in the morning, and I'm like, it's going to take me 20 minutes to walk down there. I'm going to get really hot, and I'm going to go down there and cool off because okay. that's what it was kind of there for. And I went down there, and I was in that shower when Crosby, Stills, and Nash were singing I've Been Around the World, you know what I mean? So I never hear that song and not think of Live Aid.
Wow.
So Live Aid. So Thomas Dolby's where this whole thing started.
Very
Thomas
cool.
Dolby, Baltimorean by choice.
Yes, he is.
By choice.
Baltimore. Not yeah. Good stuff.
Jen from Pasadena. She runs Mama's. Come see her places. Eat her nachos. Greg does what? What do you do real estate in the Grunwald Club? Tell me what
so
you do.
So Baltimore and beyond. Again, live about 400 feet from here, right across the street. Service clients in Baltimore City and throughout the surrounding counties. And I had a really bad experience when I bought my first home. So when I switched over from the accountant life to the real estate life, I'd swear that I was going to give my clients the best service and not have to go through a lot of the nonsense that I did. So we try to make the process as easy.
And you get free pierogi with every
you.
Sale.
We'll make it. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. Sold.
What do you love about Canton?
How much time we got? Okay, I'll tell you. Just like I said, this is where the roots where my dad grew up. 1118 South Potomac Street.
Do you mind if I have a Scunny Crab Cake here?
Go ahead. I'll take. We'll take over here.
Gotcha. Probably should okay. get a Natty Bow to go with this if I'm really doing it.
Oh, we
right
have plenty.
Way.
But Scunny's thing was PBR, from what I know. I'm not. I'm never allowed to take it off a tap because I'm never allowed to take it off tap.
Yeah, so, that'd be a good question.
So
obviously,
PBR.
He helped resuscitate the Natty Bow product, but yeah, there's PBR.
Yeah, because over at Nachos, we have the big plaque that we were the first keg that got tapped after Natty Bow came back.
So here's what. I talk about Scunny in nice terms and stuff, but Scunny would want me to drink what I want to drink.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a Guinness.
Okay.
So there you go. There. All right.
Fired
I'm going to have
up.
A Guinness. So I have a crab cake here. So when you're talking about what you love about Canton,
cheers,
you know what I mean?
Scunny.
No, I mean, it's the crab cake tour. You can come down here and get a hell of a crab cake. I promise you that.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah. Well, Scunny dreamed this place up, to do this type of stuff, sort of elevated. Elevated,
yes.
Certainly from Nachos. Although I'm a Nachos guy.
Yes.
I just am.
But you give me both.
You can there's no doubt about that. Yeah. But here's what happened. I moved down here. Scunny died. I told you I got weirded out after he died. It made me very emotional, very weird. I'll get emotional. I've already got emotional once here. Talking about Frank. I'm not going to do that with Scunny. He'd be laughing at me. He'd be talking to me in the bathroom The Shining, and you'd be laughing at me. So I don't want to have all that. But you know, I love Scunny, and you know, being able to honor him and have a crab cake down here and eating his sauce every night, it's good stuff for me. So Canton, I interrupted you. You were talking about what you love about Canton.
Yeah, Canton. So as I mentioned, with having all the roots here with my dad, and we all know the green space outside with the benches back in the day, that used to be a hardtop basketball court with a chain link fence surrounding the whole thing.
Either.
And between here and Looney's across the street, there's to be a kiddie pool. Oh, we can find some for you.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that. That is very fascinating.
So pretty incredible. And the drawing a blank on it. The cover. No, I'm sorry. They used to be over here at Dipsky. I think they just moved it. What's the word I'm looking for? So there's like a big sort of cover, sort of like a giant carport. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. They put it over at Dipsky here for next to a DuBurns Arena for like the kids and just like playing and like shade and stuff. But that used to be over here in the square, and they airlifted it with a helicopter and took it over to Dipsky Park over here back in the late 70s, early 80s, something like that.
So. What the hell is that? What is that?
Tartar sauce.
That don't taste like any tartar sauce I've ever had. What is that?
It's Mama's tartar sauce.
You didn't give me this in Towson.
I don't think I did. I think you got the Chipotle cocktail sauce in Towson.
What is this?
I don't know how to feel about this right now. What is this?
Are you happy, happy or sad right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
What the heck?
I just didn't know what it was. It was like a remoulade. I just bit into it, and I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting something more Thousand Island range remoulade in that direction. I don't mean that to be disrespectful to Thousand Island or remoulade, but that's kind of where remoulade is. I got to talk about tartar sauce because, Greg, I mean, I started a crab cake tour just thinking it'd be fun, and I'd drink pilsners and hang with friends. And when I did 30 and 30 days in August, I was struck. I started on Eastern Shore. And even before, but not so much, when I was with you, even when I was back when I got together with you in the fall. But the ones that I did before the tour were Baltimore places. Costas, Fadley's, G&M. I did Baltimore places. And in the Baltimore places, I grew up with the fried hockey pucks with the cheap meat, right?
Sure.
And we would serve cocktail sauce because it was like ketchup but with a kick. Great as a kid. I was never a mayonnaise guy and certainly not a mustard guy, even though when you went to the Leaning Tower Pizza on 33rd Street and you got the fried ones there, they would give you mustard. French's... Yellow
maybe some
mustard,
saltines
right?
thrown in there too.
Saltines,
exactly,
saltines,
right.
Like Cotties, right? That's the history of it. Like from a Lexington market and the markets in town serving Cotties.
We
to
have
workers.
Cotties on the menu here.
So, and that was just poor man. You know how my mother would take the salmon out of cans and make salmon cakes on Fridays during Lent, and we would serve those. But I didn't like mustard, didn't like mayonnaise. When the tour started, I went on the Eastern Shore, and I was 10 days in, like. Ocean City, Cambridge, Southern Maryland, everywhere I went, they served a crab cake with tartar sauce. I've never eaten tartar sauce on a crab cake, right? Like so, and usually tartar sauce is that white mayonnaise that's gooped out with little pieces of what looks like relish in it, right?
Yeah, it's like capers, pickles, some
other
stuff.
If it's Gucci, okay? But I'm talking about if it's cheap and I don't want to be disrespectful to a distributor that would distribute.
It's basically relish and mayonnaise sometimes mixed together is what it tastes
correct.
Like.
And it's terrible, and it deserves
awful.
On a fish stick.
Correct.
Okay. So everywhere I went, I got some sort of product that was closer to that than something Gucci. Okay. I did get a really, really good fried hockey puck crab cake. Tom Marr sent me down to Davis's pub. About a block away from the Boathouse, which does it more like you, more jumbo lump. And they had a tartar sauce that was delicious. It was homemade. It was lemony. You could taste the freshness in it. It was more whipped than it was like goopy. You know what I mean? It was delicious. And the crab was not jumbo lump. It wasn't designed like that. It was delicious. I have only had one or two other tartar sauces that I like said, that's really good. I didn't know this was a tartar sauce. So what is in this? Because this is, I took one bite of it. I haven't taken a second bite because it was that good. What is this?
So ours is mayonnaise-based, has a little bit of mustard, some finely...
I said mustard seeds, yes?
Yep, and finely chopped capers, and we do...
Capers! That's the salty I'm getting.
Yeah, we do a Gucci tartar sauce, because I'm also very picky about tartar. I don't want it anywhere near me. Not even on my fish sticks, I don't like tartar sauce. But I do actually very much like ours.
God, that's good! That's really, really good.
It is.
You did not bring me that... At Nacho Mama's.
I don't think I did.
No way.
Because we only have limited things.
Because I've been talking about tartar sauce everywhere I've gone for the last year because it's always terrible.
We only have limited things from Half Shell on the Towson menu out there, and I don't think that tartar sauce made it onto any items.
Well, Betty Boop approves of this crab cake.
Good.
All right, I got a beer. Well, Greg, I love you, man. Thanks for coming by.
100%. I always appreciate it. I hope we get to do it again.
Anything you want to say about the Orioles or baseball or what's going on here? I mean, just... Just Pasadena girl. Let me eat the crab cake and you guys
talk about
baseball.
I'm a kid night now. I live right down the street. So,
tentative opening day for April 8th. Stress the word tentative. Is that where we are right now? Or who the heck knows? Are you back on the tartar sauce now? We're on Nestor's tartar sauce tour, apparently.
I know.
Coming up this summer.
That's next year. Yeah.
It's a little kicky. It's got a little kick in it. What's the spice in it?
I think it might just be the mustard. Might be a little Tabasco in there, hidden in there somewhere.
I don't know. It almost has almost...
I'm not giving away our secret family recipe over the air.
It almost feels garlicky, but it's the capers. It's a capers acting with the... Is it relish in or two?
Might be a little bit. Or pickle. Cornichon.
Or pickle.
Like a gherkin. Like a... Might be...
Sweet pickle.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. I would eat that on a burger. I would eat that on a chicken wing.
Okay.
I would eat that on a fish.
This is like Nestor's Dr. Seuss over here.
I would eat it on a boat.
Eat tartar sauce. I'll eat it on a bus. I'll eat it on a... Let's go. Listen, Nestor, if I could just close with this. So, Orioles, Ravens, we could talk them to death. Very quick, my last week...
I'm
going to
get a Guinness mustache.
Okay. With my family, do it. Baltimore Blast, 40th anniversary. My good buddy Gianni Tumanello from way back, general manager of the team, brought, I don't know, 100 or so Blast players back. It was a great game, great event. My kids,
I saw the pictures.
My kids loved it. We sat in the
third row. I'm being a goof with pictures, but it looked like an amazing night. I didn't know it was happening.
It is such a great family experience. My kids were going crazy. We got the pom-poms. I looked at those amazing Blast jerseys they had for $75 in the store.
And you almost bought one.
A little bit of my price range.
Which one did you want?
Stamankovic? Stamankovic, yeah. I put on some LBs.
You're too young for Stan the Man?
Yeah.
The Magician. Chubby guy the Blast had, but he was just incredible the way he could carry the ball. But great day with the family. Blast came up a little short, but it was a great day. Except Gianni Tumanello, my grow-up buddy from Rec League Soccer, did a great job, the new general manager. And then the Maryland Terps had an amazing win against Ohio State. And I just want to thank Greg Manning, Jr., assistant coach, who set my son and I up for tickets. Greg's the assistant coach for Maryland. His dad played at Maryland back in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. We sat right behind the bench. It was unbelievable.
I was such a big Greg Manning fan. I told
my wife, I said, unfortunately, William is going to be disappointed the rest of his life because we're never going to get good seats like this again. But
I think Greg Manning was the one my dad had explained to me. They only stay 4 years at Maryland.
Yeah.
Then they either play in the pros or, you know, like it was around that time. I was about 10. Greg Manning played with 77, 78, 79, 80.
77 through 81.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I was 9 years old. And I was crushed that Greg Manning wasn't going to play for the Terps forever.
Yep. Number 10. Again, we had the first
name. Why did you extend their contract? Well, it's college.
That's when your old man takes over. Yeah, let's get him paid. Get him an NIL. You know, get him something.
So that was just a super weekend for the family. So like I said, we could talk to Orioles or Ravens, but it shifted to the Maryland.
Saturday night, I was home. I was going to go over to Nacho Mama's. I didn't. I've been working. And... I saw your thing on the timeline at like 8:30. You started putting videos up and pictures and stuff. And I'm like, I wish I knew it was happening. I would have come over. I didn't know. And I reached to Kenny Cooper on Sunday. And I think he thought I reached him to get together, but I reached him more to have him on to talk about it.
Sure.
Because everybody took a picture with Kenny. And you know, anybody that knows me and my background knows how much I love Kenny.
100%.
Kenny's just a special
guy. Took all the players took a lap to like shake the fans' hands, and he came out again at the half. And haven't had the pleasure of meeting Kenny, but seems like a terrific, terrific man.
You grew up loving Kenny like everybody else?
100%.
That big old lump you got right there.
I mean,
this I want to keep calling it. It tastes more like a remoulade.
It's a tartar sauce. It's just not what you're used to, because we stepped the game up a little bit.
It's really good. I mean, I'm really
I didn't
good.
Mean to cut you off, but he was chomping into that colossal lump there. I had
it's
to point
delicious.
That out.
It's been like a month or so we've been here for dinner. We got to come back to it. It looks fantastic. Yeah.
Blast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Chirps did a thing Sunday, too, and I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, I reached out to Greg this week. I was like, Greg, I know this is a big ask, but I ran into him at the Raven. My son, William, I used to have season tickets to the Ravens. Sold them a few years ago just with the boys in work. I was like, hey, just doing different things. And I ran into Greg on the way to the Chargers game, and he said, hey, you know, if you ever want tickets, let me know. So I sort of waited till the end of the season. I was like, Greg is sort of a big ass. Ohio State, you know, can you get us? And we look at, like, it says, like, we're like double A. And I'm like, oh, you know, we're showing the tickets to people. And there we are, like, right behind the bench. But that was fantastic, too. They have a big, you know, Terps had a big win.
I had a friend that went down early. That was the Gary Williams day, right?
Yes. Yeah, and they brought the 20th anniversary of the championship team. I didn't know that was all happening.
From Raskin Global, one of my clients and partners, he got invited to go down to the pregame where Juan was there and Mouton, and they were telling the old stories of the old days. And, you know, that was good times, man. 20 years ago, Terps won a national championship.
A blink of an eye. I mean, I had a full head of hair back then. You know, so
you want some?
I'll never say no. But a buddy of mine messaged me when he saw me at the Blast. He goes, Greg, he goes, I can name more players from that Blast championship team than I can.
Joey Fink
than
was
I can
there?
For the Orioles for like
who
you know this year
there?
And last year. Joey Fink, Mike Stankovic, Stan Stamankovic. And some of the players that had been deceased, they had their family members, like Paul Kitson's family.
Mike Reynolds,
was there.
I saw it. Mike Reynolds'
I think
son.
I think we've lost Jimmy Pollahan, so I think he had somebody representing his family there. Maybe Pat Arcoli or Ercoli, as Charlie Ekman used to call him.
Oh, go Charlie to war, Miss Agnes. By the way, Charlie Ekman's face, every time I pee at Nacho Mamas in Towson, there's a Charlie Ekman t-shirt
on
the wall at Nacho Mamas in Towson. So, see, he brought up Ekman right in the middle of it. Ekman.
The last time we did this, you were talking about this t-shirt that's on the wall. When we were in Towson, you had a whole thing about that t-shirt.
It would speak to how I feel about Charlie.
Okay.
And Charlie
so
and the legend
fright,
of Charlie.
Like Charlie Ekman's looking at you.
No, Charlie, you know, would do the blast.
Come games. On, Nestor, you could take two cabs. You could sleep on them cherries. Let's go.
I do a better Ekman than he does, but that's okay.
Oh, man.
I'll guarantee I'd do a better Thomas Dolby. I've never heard of
him. Call him two cabs, one coming, one going.
But that's how I fell asleep, was that we went to a couple blast
games. Do you understand what call a cab means?
No.
So Charlie, this is great, because you saw me interact with two dudes here and drink with them for 2 hours. Greg, I got the ultimate. I walked in, and they didn't know who I was, and then one guy's like, oh, you're Nasty Nester. You know, so like, hair, the whole deal, right?
Yeah.
So I sat down, had lunch with them, and they're sports fans. The first thing they say to me is that Cal Ripken thing with the when the lights went, and I'm like, dude, I don't take phone calls on that. Like that's why I stopped doing sports radio.
That usually resuscitates every like six and
so
a half years or something.
Ekman,
like that. Yeah.
Ekman. First off, Ekman was probably never sober on the air. Okay.
Okay.
So, and I thought, this is great that I'm talking about Charlie this week, because I thought Charlie refereed the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game.
Oh, wow.
He may have been
a bar
at the,
bet with
in,
that one.
In Hershey. He was not. It turned out Ernie Accorsi's father was at that game because he lived in Hershey.
Small
there were 4,100 people at that game.
There's no video.
It's
only
of
the
it.
Picture of Wilt holding that.
I had Gary Pomerantz. Yeah. You want a great segment this week. I had Gary Pomerantz on this week. He wrote a book on that. And he was just a great, great, great guest. So Ekman, I was talking about Ekman, the story, the blast. These guys.
Being drunk.
Yeah, the guys at the bar here.
Okay. Ekman did the games. And the blast games late in his career, but he was a basketball coach in the NBA, coached the Pistons. He was a referee. He refereed in the ACC when Dean Smith pulled the four corners.
Oh, okay.
He pulled a chair out onto the court and said, when you're ready to play, I'll be ready to referee. So Charlie was like the ultimate, and he's from Glen Burnie.
Okay.
Charlie.
I'm liking him even more now.
So if you drive where Michael's 8th Avenue was, 8th mm-hmm. Avenue in Baltimore, there's a little park there. That's yeah. Charlie Ekman Way.
Okay.
You'll see he's got a street.
Yeah, going after, towards the light rail station.
Right where the light rail is. Yeah. Right yep. where the light rail is, exactly. So Charlie would take phone calls from people in the early days. This is the 70s. Can you imagine Charlie on Twitter?
The WFBR.
Can you imagine Charlie on gosh. Twitter?
Would he be able to have a Twitter? Would he be
Twitter police.
Charlie was profane. Charlie bet on the horses. Charlie smoked a cigar. And Charlie was profane in a...
And that was like 7 a.m. doing the sports on WFBR.
In an art form kind of way. So his way of on the radio telling you to F off... was when you would call and say something ridiculous, he would say, call him two cabs. In other words, he's drunk. Get him the hell out of the bar. call a cab. Somebody say, Charlie, I think this is... And he said, call him a cab. You know, he's drunk. Call two cabs. One coming and going.
They should trade.
That was the ultimate of you're out of
Frank
your mind.
Robinson.
Oh.
And
he would always see... He had always say... There was a great book on Charlie. He would say, you can go to sleep with them cherries. That meant that it was... that was my word was gold. You can go to sleep on them cherries. That meant it was a fact.
I was going to say, what in the hell?
You can go to sleep on them cherries.
Old guys reminiscing here. Like,
yeah, you wouldn't even know what that means,
okay.
right? So, little Ekman here.
You're expecting that today, right?
Yeah.
You had your little tartar talk. I had my Charlie Ekman talk.
Yeah, I'm learning something new today. This is my new thing I'm learning.
Your Ekman thing really started with the Blast, and I love the Blast. So I always love the Blast. So seeing that stuff and seeing that red and yellow and orange... Yeah, it makes me wistful. Yeah,
great memories, no doubt.
Yeah, I haven't been to a Blast game since I was a teenager. It's been a minute.
Oh, that's a
best
lot
tartar
of fun.
Sauce I've ever had. So good, you shouldn't call it tartar sauce. You should come up with a name for it that isn't so off-putting. Because nobody's ever had a good tartar sauce, to your point.
Testimonial here.
Noted.
You would say...
I'll take it to the powers that be.
If you say, would you like some tartar sauce with that jumbo lump $30 crap? People be like... Here, now in Eastern Shore, they serve it like I couldn't believe it. But I also said to the managers, I'm like, and they serve it in little plastic things because it's summertime and, you know, whatever.
Yep.
How often does it just get thrown away? How mm-hmm. often does a server pick it up? 9 out of 10 times, nobody's touching that with a crab cake.
And I think there's a big tartar sauce lobby in D.C. So, sort of like the people that keep the penalty, like the...
there's only one tartar sauce lobby, and that's at
the
Gorton Fish Stick Company. Gorton Fish Sticks, that's where it belongs. Mrs. Paul's. That's
well,
where
normally we would ask you if you wanted cocktail or tartar sauce, but for you today, I had them bring you both.
This is
what? Our cocktail sauce.
It's Chipotle.
It's Chipotle. It's got a nice little kick to it. It'll clean you out.
I remember eating it now, and I remember thinking it would be better on a French fry for me than on a crab cake.
Well, then now you like our tartar sauce.
I would put that on a shoe.
Right. Goes with everything.
Greg,
right,
say your last name in Polish because I want to learn how to say it.
Szczepaniak.
Szczepaniak.
Yes, you'll have like a Appreciate Polish listener calling and saying, no, they're saying it wrong.
Thanks for being
That's
a great
enough.
Guest. Being
close
a good
enough.
Friend.
Yeah. This was great.
Much love to Val, too, man. And the memory of... Hey, Val.
To Scunny.
Val Venus.
Cheers.
To Scunny.
My dad.
I'm on
to
the
Charlie
clock.
Ekman.
I'm on the clock, so I got nothing.
She's Jen. She's giving me margaritas and crushers to go home that are going to go over hubcaps. Big thanks to Betty Boop and all of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. Our friends at Goodwill are also sponsoring the tour. Tour dates are up, at least for this month. Next Thursday, we are in Catonsville, El Guapo. Love their salsa too, but very different. Very roasted Chipotle thing. Delicious. Also, some great margaritas over there. We're going to be there Thursday from 1 to 4. Don Moeller's got that handled. I am at Costas on the 18th. That's Friday, March Madness. I don't think the Terps will be getting mad that day. They might be getting even. I don't know. But that's 2 to
Let's
5.
Let's get hot in the tournament. Let's go, Terps. Get hot.
Costas in. That's the 18th. And then on the 23rd, we're at Fade Lee's, where they have the delicious mustardy kind of crab cake. That's different than the Scunny crab cake, which is very Old Bay forward, which I think this... I keep looking at it, wanting to call it a remoulade. If you put a little more red stuff in there, it would take on an orange, and you could call it a remoulade. It's a tartar sauce. I got it. It's not like any other. It's better than a tartar sauce.
I just need you to come to terms with the fact that tartar sauce can be good.
You're going to leave them a Google review, I hope, at least. They're 5 stars. let me start on the tartar sauce.
5 out of 5 stars, highly recommend.
Come on, smile.
Hold my phone and just fill it out. Just go ahead and fill it out. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, with a great set where we can look in the mirror and actually see the bar. Peps,
kind of
shrimp. What's the middle one say?
We have Shinerbach.
Oysters. They got them here. We're at Mama's on the Half Shell in Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.